Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Keeslin Roberts grew up an only child in Dalton, Georgia, and by all accounts had a wonderful childhood. She was involved in many activities in her school, including color guard. She also had dreams of becoming a marine biologist someday. In her late teen years, however, Keeslin's dad, Eric, said she found herself with the wrong crowd and began dabbling with drugs. It started with some marijuana use, then allegedly escalated to methamphetamines. She had some brushes with the law, even right up to her disappearance, but her family said she knew she needed help and she was working to try and get herself out of the situation she was in. In January of 2019, Keeslin was arrested on a drug charge and decided she needed to try and turn her life around. She was now a young adult and she knew things needed to change in her life. She spent the next year on probation and had a court date scheduled for January 17th, 2020. Keeslin would not show up for that hearing. On January 18th, Keeslin showed up at the Flying J truck stop in Resaca, Georgia. She was acting strangely, and when employees there called 911 to report her, she hid her backpack and fled the area. 2 days later, on January 20th, Keeslin's probation officer called her father. She had missed her meeting on that day, which was unusual. Keeslin's father, Eric, started trying to track down his daughter. He first called Keeslin's boyfriend, and he said he hadn't seen Keeslin in a few days. But he also told Eric that he knew Keeslin's car was parked up at the Flying J. Eric rushed up there, and sure enough, there was Keeslin's car. There would be no signs of Keeslin anywhere, and her cell phone was going straight to voicemail. Keeslin had disappeared. Where is Keeslin Noel Roberts? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing person story. Keeslin's story is one I followed since the beginning, and I even covered her story back in 2021 when Keeslin was barely missing for a year. I'm sad to report that here we are in 2024, 3 years later, 4 years since her disappearance, and Keeslin is still missing. We still have no answers as to her whereabouts or what happened on that January day back in 2020. A quick reminder, all our contact information can be found in the show notes, along with our social media links. I always welcome all feedback or case suggestions anytime, and I hope you give us a follow on the socials and help us spread awareness of these unsolved cases. There are so many missing persons out there. It's mind-boggling, actually. We can't find them all, but we can certainly help continue to raise awareness and hope that the right person sees their case information and calls in that one missing tip that many of these cases are waiting for. In most of these stories, someone out there knows something. Before we jump in, I want to give a big thank you and a big welcome to Mike for joining us over on Patreon. Thank you so much for your support of our show. As a reminder, our Patreon link is also in the show notes. You can find ad-free episodes and bonus episodes over there. Now let's get right into the story of Keeslin Roberts. Keeslin Noel Roberts was born on October 22, 1999, to Eric and Shannon Roberts. Keeslin was their only child and was quickly given the nickname Butterfly by her parents. She was adored and loved by her entire family, and she would grow up in Dalton, Georgia. Her father owned and operated Eric Roberts Trucking, which was also located in Dalton. And by all accounts, Keeslin had a normal and happy childhood. She was an active Color Guard member in high school, and both parents were involved in her activities growing up. Her dad even served on the board for the high school band and Color Guard. In her late teen years, however, Keeslin's dad, Eric, said she found herself with the wrong crowd and began dabbling with drugs. It started with some marijuana use and then escalated to methamphetamines. She had some brushes with the law, but her family said she knew she needed help, and she was working to get that help and to get herself out of the situation that she was in. At the time of her disappearance, Keeslin was living with her boyfriend in Chatsworth, Georgia. Not much information is shared publicly about her boyfriend, even his identity, but he has not been a person of interest in her case. On January 17th, 2020, Keeslin missed a court date. This was a hearing regarding a past drug charge that she'd had. The sheriff's office and media outlets have said that a warrant was issued on that date for Keeslin. However, Keeslin's dad has disputed that and said that is completely false information. The warrant wasn't actually officially issued until January 21st, 2020, after Keeslin went missing. The disappearance. On January 18th, 2020, Keeslin entered a Flying J truck stop off of Highway 75 in Resaca, Georgia. She entered the back part of the store, a part that was only meant for employees. I believe it might have even been a kitchen area. And after the employees asked her to leave, it was said that she caused a bit of a scene, and one of the employees actually called 911. Keeslin dropped her backpack, which had her ID, wallet, money, and phone charger in it, and she fled the store. Deputies have confirmed they were called to the store, to that Flying J, on that day to investigate. By the time they arrived, however, Keeslin had left. The officers took the incident report, but since the person who was causing the disturbance was gone, there was nothing else for them to do. On Monday, January 20th, Keeslin's dad, Eric, received a call from Keeslin's probation officer that she had not shown up as scheduled for a meeting. Eric, unable to reach his daughter, drove out to where he knew that she had been living, her boyfriend's place in Chatsworth, Georgia. Her boyfriend told Eric that he hadn't seen Keeslin in a few days. And as Eric was leaving the boyfriend's house, he yelled out to Eric and said, quote, "I know where her car is, though. It's parked up at the Flying J," end quote. So now Eric speeds up to the Flying J, and sure enough, he finds Keeslin's car parked in the back of the parking lot. It's backed in, and inside the car sat her purse and car keys, but the car itself was locked, and there was no sign of Keeslin anywhere. Eric called the Gordon County Police Department, as that was where her car was found, in Resaca. But when they came out, they told Eric to call Murray County, as that is the county where Keeslin was living, in Chatsworth. Gordon County took no interest in the case, according to Eric. When he finally got through to Murray County, they also seemed disinterested. Eric believes it's possibly because of Keeslin's checkered past that they didn't take her case seriously. And it seemed that both jurisdictions seemed to want to pass it off to the other, something that is really not uncommon in missing person cases from what I've seen. She was last known to be in Gordon County, and that's where her car was found. But again, she lived a half hour away in Murray County. So technically, it should be them that does take the report. But it would be a full 5 days for a detective to finally reach out to Eric and take an official missing persons report on Keeslin. And by then, Keeslin's family was certain that something was very, very wrong here. The circumstances were odd, especially with her car being found and the way it was found. But they also had that gut instinct telling them that Keeslin needed their help. Her behavior indicated that she might be in trouble. Had she found herself using drugs again? They really weren't sure, but they just knew they had to find their daughter. Keeslin Noelle Roberts had disappeared. The search. When the detective finally talked to Eric, Eric told him the circumstances of finding her car locked up at the Flying J. Eric asked the detective if they would like to search the car, maybe look for clues, maybe even fingerprints, but the detective told him there was no need as there was no evidence of a crime. Keeslin's family was growing more and more frustrated and began searching the area on their own. The police never even asked for surveillance footage from the truck stop or even for Keeslin's cell phone records. In fact, to this day, that has still not been done by authorities that we know of. Eric went back to talk to the employees at the Flying J. He learned that there were very few surveillance cameras and actually none in the parking lot where Keeslin's car was found. Coincidence? Bad luck? Not sure. But there would be no CCTV footage. Family and friends, and the entire community, in fact, were shocked by this and have started a petition to try and require all truck stops like Flying J, to provide more cameras, especially in their parking lot and the surrounding areas. An employee was able to tell Eric that the night Keeslin was causing a scene in the store, she had told some people she was meeting a man there, but she never identified who the man was and nobody had any idea. Weeks went by, with very little done on the case by law enforcement. Eric then receives a text message from a Flying J employee that they discovered some clothing hidden under some trees behind their dumpster area. Eric received this text around 10 o'clock p.m., and he immediately drove out to the Flying J to check it out. The clothing was indeed Keeslin's. The police bagged up the clothing as possible evidence, but said they could not send it off to the crime lab for testing because there was no sign of a crime. Keeslin's family, meanwhile, was also trying to get a hold of Keeslin's phone records, but were unsuccessful. They had hoped that maybe it could point them in the direction of where she went when she left the Flying J if they could track her by her phone. Or maybe even they could access her phone records and see who she was talking to or texting and who she might have been planning to meet there if that was indeed true. Law enforcement said they couldn't help get these phone records because they would need a search warrant and there was just no grounds to apply for a search warrant. Caleb Smith. Meanwhile, another person had been reported missing, allegedly last seen at the same Flying J on January 16th, just 2 days before Keeslin was last seen. Caleb Nathaniel Smith disappeared from the exact same location. His body would be found a few weeks later on February 3rd in Sugar Valley, about 5 miles from the Flying J. He was found naked and he was found in a marshy swampland. Detectives immediately believed it to be an overdose, but many people had questions. His car was parked just 5 spots from where Keeslin's car was found. How and why did he get naked and where were his clothes? His clothing has never been found. It was also kind of cold during that time, and the spot he was found in would be a difficult spot to just wander off in on your own. Caleb's death was never investigated as anything more than an overdose. When Keeslin's parents heard this news, they rushed over to the spot where his body was found. Since Keeslin and Caleb didn't know each other, as far as anyone knew, the police have stated they believe these incidents are completely unrelated. Eric himself wanted to search the land where Caleb was found. Originally, the landowner gave him permission. Eric wanted to make sure that Keeslin's body wasn't there also. However, the night before Eric was planning on going to search, that landowner called him and told him no. He changed his mind. He couldn't search the land after all. But Eric didn't care. He went and searched anyway. Nothing was found to lead him to Keeslin, however. I do have to wonder why the landowner rescinded permission at the last minute for Eric to search. It does seem odd, and maybe he'd received some advice and to not let people on his land. But since nothing more was said about it, I really don't want to speculate. I just feel if somebody was missing and they were potentially on my land, I would welcome the parents definitely to come in and search. Caleb's case would be closed, and while authorities continued to believe that Caleb and Keeslin's cases were unrelated, the public was wondering. Caleb's mother would actually fight to get the case reopened this year, 2024, as she feels there's ample evidence that there was a crime committed. Caleb's body was discovered because a landowner had seen a brush fire. That fire was ruled suspicious, and authorities believe it was set intentionally. Caleb's mom believes that it was possibly set to destroy evidence and that it should be investigated further. But so far, Caleb's death is still classified as an accidental drug overdose. Resaca, Georgia. Resaca, Georgia is a very small town just northwest of Atlanta, almost to the Tennessee border. The population of Resaca is just 544 residents. The area does have a river running through it, the Oostenaula River, and the main highway thoroughfare of I-75. I-75 runs from the Everglades of South Florida all the way north past Detroit, Michigan. Because of this main highway, there are many truck stops along the route, including this Flying J in Resaca. Despite Resaca being a very small town, a very quiet town, everyone has said this is a busy truck stop area right off of the highway, with people coming and going all day and night. However, once you leave the immediate area of that Flying J, the landscape turns remote and sparse. That surrounding area was searched, with still no signs of Keeslin. The river here is concerning, as it does look to be a decent-sized river, although not specifically huge, I would say. I do think with the way water levels fluctuate, especially with rivers, if Keeslin had found herself in the river, either accidentally or through foul play, she would have likely been found eventually. Although, I do have to say, we have seen many cases of people being found years later in the water. Personally, I'm on the fence about Caleb Smith's case being related, but let's take a look at where he was found. It was about 5 miles from that Flying J, where his car was, also where Keeslin's car was. How did he get that 5 miles? Did he walk there? He was found nude, with drugs in his system, very possible a drug overdose, although that fire does seem suspicious. That area was described as rural and marshy wetlands, and there was no indication that Keeslin was ever in that area. Keeslin was living in Chatsworth, Georgia at the time with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, again, was never a person of interest. Chatsworth is about a 30-minute drive from Resaca, but because her car was found in Resaca, the focus has always been in that area. But because she lived in Murray County, they would be an investigative agency in her case. This part of Georgia is known for high drug usage. It is nearby what Georgia refers to as the heroin triangle. The area where Keeslin went missing from, and even the area where she lived, was known for having a very serious methamphetamine problem. It was methamphetamine that was also found in Caleb Smith's system after an autopsy. Interestingly enough, and not necessarily related, is that there have been several other disappearances from Flying J truck stops over the last few years. Cases such as Lillian Payne in South Carolina, and cases like Jason Fowler in Wichita, Texas. Truck stops are a hotspot for a lot of travelers coming and going, of course. This is another reason the FBI started their Truck Driver Serial Killer Task Force. We've talked about this task force before and the great work that they have done to solve cases that were committed by truck drivers traveling across the country. But again, there is absolutely no indication that Keeslin was the victim of any type of crime at that Flying J truck stop. The Georgia Bureau of Investigations has taken over the case as of October 2020, but it still doesn't seem like much is being done by law enforcement. Many people, which includes the media and the public, and of course, friends and family of Keeslin, have reached out to the police, the sheriff, and the GBI for comments, but they have not spoken out about what is happening in the case of Keeslin Roberts at all. It has been the family that has been fighting for media attention and finally has obtained a little bit. Nancy Grace spotlighted Keeslin's story last year, and Exploring with Nug, a YouTuber who usually searches water sources with sonar for missing persons and vehicles, also got involved last year and did an episode on Keeslin. In fact, Nug also said he helped search for her when she first went missing, searching a nearby pond, because her case really hit home with him since he was from that same area. The family has waited so long for answers and has fought for help from law enforcement. Law enforcement is the one with the tools and resources to be able to provide the best help. But according to the family, they don't seem that interested in pursuing the case. So please, please share Keeslin's story, share her name, like her Facebook page, Missing Keeslin Roberts, and continue to help keep Keeslin's name out there. This is one of those cases someone has to know something or someone had to have seen something at this busy truck stop. And if Keeslin is alive and well out there, maybe she will see how hard her parents are working to bring her home and reach out to them. What do you think happened to Keeslin Roberts? Keeslin Roberts is described as a Caucasian female. She is 5'6". She weighs about 120 pounds, has blonde hair and green eyes. Keeslin has gauged piercings in her ears and a tattoo on the inside of her right forearm of a design of blue waves, green and yellow sea turtles, and a yellow hibiscus flower with the words, "Love yourself first," written in script. Keeslin was just 20 years old when she disappeared and would today be 25. If you have any information as to the whereabouts of Keeslin Noelle Roberts, please contact the Georgia Bureau of Investigations at 706-624-1424 or Eric Roberts directly at 706-226-0069. Thank you so much for listening to Keeslin's story today. A young woman with her whole life ahead of her who seemed to just get on the wrong path. But she wanted to get back on track. She expressed that over and over and has said that she was trying to straighten up. And it seemed that she had for a while. Although her behavior at the Flying J makes you wonder if she had fallen off the wagon. As a reminder, make sure you are following us over on the socials where we will be posting any updates that we may get. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. I also welcome any case suggestions that you may have. You can hit me up on social media or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Also, a big, big thank you again to our newest Patreon member, Mike C. Thank you so much for your support and for joining us over there. Also, if you are a paid subscriber, I don't have access to your names, but I do appreciate your support as well, and I'm working on getting some new subscriber episodes up as we speak. I also have a part two of the Q&A coming soon, so if you have any questions for me, shoot them my way. You can find all of those links to our socials, my contact info, and our Patreon all down in the show notes. Again, thank you for listening to Keislin's story. Let's keep sharing and keeping her name out there. I pray that we have answers on her story soon, and I honestly think we will. This is one of those cases I routinely check up on because I do think it's going to be solved. Keislin's family has waited far too long for any answers on her whereabouts. Let's hope 2024 brings those answers. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.